Miri. Good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Sunday, October 5th, 2014. You're listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us this Sunday evening live from Washington. I am Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Amongst our top stories this evening, representatives of Zimbabwe's finance ministry are expected in Washington this coming week for a meeting with other Eastern and Southern African central bank governors and finance ministers starting Monday. The primary and secondary education minister, Dr. Lazarus Dokora, admits that the government has neglected investing in schools infrastructure over the years and will continue engaging cabinet on how to address this issue. Dokora was speaking at a commemoration ceremony of World Teachers' Day in Bulawayo last week. The Health Ministry says it has successfully completed the first demonstration phase of the human papillomavirus HPV anti-cancer vaccination campaign, which took place in Marondera and Bytebridge last month.
We were a bit anxious about the way the communities would perceive the vaccination program and therefore allow their daughters to be vaccinated.
And as usual, we give you the Youth Forum with Tatenda Gumbo. Representatives of the Zimbabwe Finance Ministries are expected in Washington this coming week for a meeting with other Eastern and Southern Africa central bank governors and finance ministers starting Monday. The forum, known as Macroeconomical Financial Management Institute of Eastern and Southern Africa, MEFMI, celebrates its 20th anniversary on the sidelines of the annual World Bank IMF meetings. MEFMI will showcase leading African policymakers and key senior partners who are doing business and implementing monetary and fiscal policies across Africa, including Zimbabwe. During the forum, leading African and international experts will discuss factors influencing investment opportunities across the continent. The primary and secondary education minister, Dr. Lazarus Dokora, admits that the government has neglected investing in schools infrastructure over the years, but he says he will continue engaging cabinet on how to address this issue. Dokora was speaking at a commemoration ceremony of World Teachers' Day in Bulawayo last week. Meanwhile, the Progressive Teachers Union of Zimbabwe Secretary General Raymond Majongwe says his organization also marked World Teachers Day throughout the country last week. Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri speaks to Mr. Majongwe on the issue.
I think the most important thing was that the teachers took time to appraise the education officials, the principal director present, and they raised the pertinent issues concerning the profession, the challenges that they are facing, as well as their immediate demand, as well as the embarrassment and humiliation that they've had to endure.
We understand that Minister Dokora was in Bulawayo, where he considered that the shortage of schools was government's blame. What's your reaction to this?
It's neither here nor there. They will go up and say, we accept this. They come to our functions and say they are not responsible. The most important thing is that government must know that it is not their responsibility alone. Education is an all-stakeholder responsibility. And we want government to ultimately know that positive results will only accrue to the education system if all of us sit down as stakeholders, respecting one another, sharing experiences, and building the future of the country. Because whether people want it or not, the problems that are confronting our education system, ranging from big class sizes, disgruntled teachers, lack of infrastructure, lack of books, lack of teaching materials, are all but situations that, if positively addressed, we can deal with them and come up and put our education system at the apex where it has always been.
What did the government official at your function say about this?
honorable director, Mr. Gonese, who was basically reading a speech from the minister's desk, also bemoaned the same challenges that we are facing. The most important thing is that having the government officials at our function is an assurance that they are recognizing the PPUZ as an important and critical stakeholder if a solution facing the education system is going to be handled. It's one thing that the minister was with the Zinta people in Bulawayo, and we also had the deputy minister ably represented by the principal director, Mr. Gonese.
That was PTUZ Secretary General Raymond Majongwe in Harare speaking with Jonga Kandemiri of Studio 7. The Health Ministry says it has successfully completed the first demonstration phase of the human papillomavirus HPV anti-cancer vaccination campaign for 10-year-old girls, which took place in Marondera and Beitbridge last month. The Director of Epidemiology, Disease Prevention and Control in the Health Ministry, Dr. Portia Manangazira, said although the government is awaiting reports from the participating districts, no severe side effects were reported. Dr. Manangazira tells us more on the issue.
We are quite excited that we started a program of vaccination for young girls against cancer of the cervix. Cancer of the cervix is one of the biggest killers among women, and indeed in Zimbabwe it's the major cause of death among women. As a result, we have embarked on a program to vaccinate young girls aged 10 years for now. We are starting with a demonstration project that will run for 2 years, 2014 and 2015, in the two districts of Beitbridge, Matabeleland South Province, and Marondera, Mashonaland East Province. As we started mid-September, we are expecting to cover about 4,441 girls divided in the two districts. So we feed them for the first dose, and then we feed them again after 6 months. And then we do the same for a second group of girls. And then in 2016, we will have done enough learning to scale up the vaccination program to the rest of the country, by which time we are then targeting girls aged 9 to 13 years old.
How would you say the program is being received where you've started the programs?
It's being delivered by both Ministry of Health and Ministry of Primary and Secondary Education. And we have actually overwhelming support from the teachers. And as we started the vaccination program, even from the learners, they are quite keen to get vaccinated. We were a bit anxious about the way the communities would perceive the vaccination program and therefore allow their daughters to be vaccinated. But we've also been working with community-based organizations as well as leadership, be it political and other leadership within the two districts and the provinces. They have really welcomed the program very well. In fact, when we went to do the launch in Beitbridge, the district really organized the launch and there was a very good attendance. So we're really looking forward to a very successful program. Our aim is to cover at least 80% of the targeted girls. We may actually get overwhelmed because of the enthusiasm that we have seen as we started this program. In Marondera, the reception was the same. Even when we called for leadership to come to meetings in the community, we held dialogue so that they could also ask questions and have some of their anxieties allayed, and also just to give us an opportunity to discuss issues of adolescent health with the communities, and they've really been very forthcoming.
That was the Director of Epidemiological Disease Prevention and Control in the Health Ministry, Dr. Portia Manangazira in Harare. Today we bring you more of the interview with Tanzanian-born Eric James Shigongo, who, as we mentioned yesterday, says he made a personal choice to reject poverty despite growing up poor. Shigongo, now a successful publisher, author, and motivational speaker, shared that though he never made it past seventh grade education, he never let that stop his dreams of becoming successful or educating his children. He tells Studio 7's Ndimiyake Mwakaliele that young people must reject poverty by taking charge of their lives and being politically engaged citizens.
I speak to young people about leadership and about being responsible. And I speak to African leaders about being responsible as well. Because this is a two-way traffic, okay? If the environment is not there, the possibility of young people succeeding is also very difficult. That is, of course, understandable. The thing I'm saying right now is, we put a government in power, and the government that we put in power doesn't care about us. What do we do? We have the power of the ballot. The power of the ballot. If we can use the ballot paper to get that government which does not care about us out of power, let's do it. Young people in Africa must learn to speak when things are not right. Let them not stand on the sideline just complaining and complaining when things are not moving the way they're supposed to move. That's what I see in Africa. Let them participate. Let them be the catalyst of change in any country. Be it in Zimbabwe, be it in Kenya, be it in Tanzania, young people are about 65% of the population. Why keep silent? Let's move ahead and speak.
I want you to just summarize for me your works. You have several publications. You've written several books. How many books have you written?
I have published 7, but I have written 91 manuscripts.
Wow.
The 91 manuscript with about 400 to 500 pages books. My goal is to do 100 before I'm 50. I'm 45.
Okay, you got 5 years. You got to get busy. And what is your general message in your books?
The thing is transformation. I want people to change. There's something I know that majority of the young people do not know, I think. So I do a transformational message. I give people information that can help them realize that they are powerful, because we have been rendered powerless by what people talk about us. So it's like, setting people free from the mentality of saying I cannot do it and make them believe I can.
And how do you know you're being successful at it?
At the moment, I'm happy with the position I am in life, but I'm yet to be where I want to go. So to me, everybody is in search of power. You are in search of power. I'm in search of power. You know, when you go to school, all you're searching for is power. When you work, doing business every day, you are in search of power. Power means affording things in life, right? So if today I can afford coming to Washington, something I wasn't able to do just 10 years ago, I am happy. But I will never be complacent saying, man, I'm here now, it's enough. I fight every day. To me, my father told me, and I want to keep this in my mind for the rest of my life, that the pursuit of success is like somebody pedaling a bicycle. The moment you stop pedaling, you stop moving. And the moment you stop moving, you have to fall down. So keep going until you die. Mm-hmm. That's all.
Author, motivational speaker, and CEO of Global Publishers and General Enterprises, Eric James Shigongo of Tanzania, speaking with Studio 7's Ndimiyake Mwakalyele. For more on this interview, go to our website www.voazimbabwe.com. This is Studio 7, live from the Voice of America in Washington. We're going out to you on the 4930, 4940, and 15455 shortwave frequencies, and on the 909 medium wave or AM frequency. And now we go to the Youth Forum with Tatenda Gumbo.
You are now listening to the Youth Forum, your forum focusing on your issues today. I'm gladly joined by Program Officer of the Youth Agenda Trust, Mr. Lawrence Mashungu. Thank you so much for joining me, Lawrence.
Oh, thank you. You're welcome.
And of course, the Youth Agenda, as we spoke before, has continued doing outreach programs with young people on the new constitutional charter and also their rights as youths. How has that program been going?
Currently, we are focusing our attention more, especially on the acts, because the government, after having adopted the new constitution, has taken it upon itself to make sure that all the acts are aligned to the new constitution. And of importance is the Youth Council Act. The Youth Council Act at present provides for the establishment of the board that is responsible for running the affairs of the young people. But we have been having problems with the act because it seems to give more power to the minister. I can also give you just a background that currently the minister is responsible for appointing 8 board members to the 15 board council. So the youth organization will then be responsible for choosing the remaining 7. So we are saying now, given now that we have the new constitution and the government is making sure that all the acts are aligned to the new constitution, we have made our submission clearly to say that we now need the young people to have power over the board that runs the affairs of the young people.
Where will your program be targeting next? What areas will you be attending with this outreach?
Our program targets Mashingo province. It also targets Midland province. It also targets Mashonaland, East, West, and Central. So we are moving around to conscientize the young people on the need to participate, especially in the alignment of new acts. And also, we are calling upon other ministries to do what the Ministry of Youth is doing, to solicit for people's views in terms of making sure that the acts are aligned to the new constitution.
Now, when you speak about the issue that you would want youth organizations to have more power than the ministry itself in regards to picking those on this youth council, why is it very important that youth organizations have more power or more say in that topic?
No, that's good. So, like our motto, especially at Youth Agenda, we say there is nothing for us without us. So, there is no way you can deal with youth issues without consulting them. So one thing that we advocate for ourselves as Youth Agenda Trust and also as the Zimbabwe Youth Council, they talk of youth participation and empowerment. So there is no youth empowerment without the youth participation because it is the young people who know their issues and they also have to be considered in whatever comes. We are not saying that the government does not have to have power over the issues of the young people, but where young people need to take decisions, they have to be involved. So to us, we appreciate for now, but what we might then want to do is to make sure that we might need more time to make sure that other people, especially in the rural areas, in the other remote areas, they can also be consulted, because we don't want a situation where we have only young people who are maybe resident in Harare or Bulawayo or such big cities to be consulted, then purport to have represented all the young people.
And that's a good point, Lawrence. Many have said that it is necessary to not only target a youth in the larger cities, but making sure that they target youth in all areas. But my question here is, do you get feedback that when they come to these outreach programs, these outreach meetings, that when you relay these messages, that they're being heard?
Yeah, in some cases, but in most of the cases, the young people's views are not being taken on board. In some cases, the young people are represented, but in most of the cases, especially on the edge, they are not being represented. Why am I saying so? It's because for young people to be able to air their views, normally the government should make sure that they go out and meet the young people. And now, because of the economic challenges, there is no way the young people can come to parliament or to come to cities to make sure that their issues are being heard. So we are calling upon the government to organize programs, the outreach program, so that the young people's voices can be heard. But without reaching out to where they are, there is no way they can be taken on board. This is something that we want in our situation, in our country, to be changed. We want to see real young people coming up and having their views being heard.
Lawrence, I want to thank you for joining me on the Youth Forum.
You are welcome.
That was Lawrence Mashungu, Program Officer of the Youth Agenda Trust, joining me today here on the Youth Forum. This is Tatenda Gumbo, and make sure you join me next weekend.
is Studio 7 for Zimbabwe, coming to you live from the Voice of America in Washington. Now to recap on today's top stories. Representatives of Zimbabwe's finance ministry are expected in Washington this coming week for a meeting with other Eastern and Southern Africa central bank governors and finance ministers. The primary and secondary education minister admits that the government has neglected investing in school infrastructure over the years and will continue engaging cabinet on how to address this issue. That was the news in English from Studio 7 this Sunday evening, October 5th, 2014. Stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Standakile Mhlanga.